Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're studying together in the book of Hebrews. And we have actually been going back and forth between the third and the fourth chapter. And there is a word, harmartia, the word for sin, in the Greek text of this third chapter of Hebrews. It's singular, and it's preceded by the definite article. So harmartia is sin. But they should have translated the article because it speaks of a specific sin. You know? And in English, you know, for example, the translators with respect to God and Jesus almost consistently through the Greek New Testament, it's the God, it's the Jesus, it's the Paul. You know, we're talking about specific individuals. Well, we don't talk that way in English, and it sounds strange. But for God and Jesus, we know there's one God, and there's, you know, there were many Jews named Yeshua, but, you know, there's only one, the Jesus. He's God who became man through the virgin birth. So that we need the specificity of the definite article to understand some very important doctrine that has virtually been overlooked by the majority of churches under the canopy of Christianity. We know the early church knew it because they used a Greek New Testament. And, you know, and in the Greek, the article is there. So that if we are reading, let's begin reading it again at verse 7 in this third chapter of Hebrews. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit, it would be better translation than Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as the ghost. But as we're born into this world, we're born spiritually dead through the preaching of the Word of God and the quickening power of the Spirit of God. At the moment of our salvation, we're made spiritually alive. So we are indwelt then by God's Holy Spirit, and He has taken that which died in Adam and made it alive again in Christ. So Adam was told, Eve was warned, also told, that the day that you eat thereof, ye shall what?
Surely die.
But we know that Adam lived 930 years. So did he die that day? Yes. He died spiritually that day. And then we see with the offering that was made in the garden by God for them, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ presented to us, so that the scriptures refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so as we go on into Cain and Abel and different ones in the scripture, Cain refused to offer to God an appropriate sacrifice. He believed, because he believed according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he believed he could have a viable relationship with God based upon his understanding of right and wrong. And nobody refers to the sin of when Eve was deceived and Adam ate. What happened? Well, they died spiritually, but they gained a knowledge which we call morality. Yeah. Because what is a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's moral conscience. So all of the religious systems in the world, every single one, both inside and outside the canopy of Christianity, and there are a few inside the canopy of Christianity that understand that we don't have a relationship with God based upon a touch not, taste not, handle not philosophy. We have a right relationship with God based upon the fact that God became a man, lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and offered himself as a ransom for sin. And so when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he conquered death. So he conquered death not only for himself, but for us. The scripture teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. No payment. No. But every religious system in the world is tied up in its own moral conscience, which varies with as many different systems as there are, or as many individuals as there are in the world, how they view their particular philosophy. Yeah. So man's been trying ever since the fall to get back into the presence of God by that which separated him from the presence of God. Our moral conscience, let's put it that way, didn't come from God. It came from the devil. It's the concept, which is very, very, very introspective. You know, what is good for me, you know, and what's good for you? And people will lay different loads on other people, but they don't lay the same load on themselves. And so there are no absolutes in man's morality, but there is an absolute in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a holy God. That means he's, in him is no sin at all. And he's separate from all of that, which we call sin. Okay, so let's read these verses together, and then we're going to probably go over to the book of Romans. Okay, so he says, wherefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today. Now, this happens for each one of us on the moment of our salvation. I happened to be home on leave a year after my dad died, and this was back in... And let's see, what year was it?
54. You went back in 54.
It would be 50. You were born
in 53, so it's 54 when you went.
Okay, January 54. Yeah. That's a long time ago. Okay, January of 1954. And mother said to me, I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me? And I said, well, we came to see you. If that's where you're going to be. That's where we're going to be. You know? Now, I didn't know at the time that Joanne had accepted the Lord as her Savior when she was a teeny bopper, you know, about 12, 13 years old in a church in Norwalk. And so then Brother Stewart preached that day, gave the invitation, and it was almost as if somebody grabbed me by the collar and the seat of the breeches and threw me forward. Yeah. And I could have no more stayed in my seat that day. You know. So when he gave me the invitation, I went forward. Invitations aren't necessary for salvation. Spirit of God quickens the Word of God to your heart where you are. But, you know, a lot of churches use the invitation, and a lot of churches misuse the invitation. You know, they use it in a way to try to make people think there are things happening when there isn't. So, you know, every message that we preach is something for somebody within the sound of my voice. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to whoever and however many. Listen to our messages online, as well as those that are present here, you know, and then we mail out quite a number of CDs. It's a lot less than it used to be, because people now have their phones and can get on the website with their phone. So, faith comes out?
By hearing.
By hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. So the word of God is made alive to us. And Eric has given his testimony, how that he thought he was a Christian, came to church with his grandmother and mother, and was always trying to improve his lifestyle and everything. But it wasn't until he was 21 years old that the Spirit of God quickened the word of God to his heart and saved his soul. You know, all those years, you know, is like so many people under the canopy of Christianity, because they go to church. They think they're Christians. Yeah. And in some parts of the country, particularly in the South, people go to church because it's the thing to do. Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of them, and they're anything but saved. It's just a habit. Yeah. Now, in that habit, they put themselves in the place where they could be saved if the preacher had enough integrity to preach the truth. But preachers are, they want to build monuments to themselves. And so many preachers and the three Bible colleges that I went to, they put so much emphasis upon life, your life, that somebody will see your good life and want to be like you. That is utter nonsense. And it's contrary to the word of God. So, continuing with this, he says, when your fathers tempted me or tried me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. How did the Jews try the Lord? Well, the Lord gave them the opportunity to be under the law. And rather than recognizing that all of their failures in Egypt and all of their moaning and groaning every time that God judged one of the false gods of Egypt, and they're crying to Moses and Aaron, knock it off. You know, Pharaoh's making it hard on us. They didn't care anything about the truth. But when they were given the opportunity, they said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Now, people would say, well, that was a wonderful, high spiritual moment. No, that was a very low spiritual moment. That man in his fallen condition, and even man in his saved condition, can think that he can keep the law of God. Impossible. Just absolutely impossible. Yeah. The law is good, it's right, it's holy. But if we put ourselves under the law is going to condemn us. That's what it was designed to do. Why was it designed to condemn us? So that we would see that we need a Savior. Now, once we've been brought to salvation in Jesus Christ, we don't need the law anymore. You know? But that's mostly what's preached. You know? Don't smoke, don't drink, don't spit, don't chew. You know, they make up a whole bunch of laws. You know, and it's crazy. But it's just an outward show, and that's what the Jews were all about when they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We, of all people on this earth, do not have to be phony in our relationship with God. I'm a sinner saved by grace. If you look at me, you're going to see someone with faults. You know, if I look at you, I'm going to see someone with faults. But God is not charging us with our faults, because Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and bore your judgment and my judgment, so we're declared to be holy. Now, at that moment in time, the day of my salvation, the day of Eric's salvation, the day of your salvation, God says, you died. And your life, that's the one you're living now, is hid. Hid where? With Christ. Where? In God. So, anything that I'm doing in terms of touch not, taste not, handle not, it's not being viewed. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. You know, I'm going to be raised with Christ. And in the meantime, the just are to live how? By faith. By faith, and what? The law is not of faith. So most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity are all about conduct. Now, there's no question that good conduct's better than bad conduct. The problem with conduct, though, is it breeds self-righteousness. It breeds the concept that I'm a good person. What does the scripture say? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So all of us who are saved, we died with Christ, so our life is hid. And so only that which we do by faith, by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, is viewed. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and the new covenant is their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. That's not a license to do as you please. If you want to spend all of your time in the flesh, there are consequences both in the natural world and in the spiritual world for it. But we can't lose our salvation. We've been born from above. And that's what is translated born again in John chapter 3. So he goes on to say, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. How did the Jews provoke God? When God spoke the law to the Jews from Sinai, and they heard it. In the 19th chapter of Exodus, we read, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That was the provocation. To think that they could live a life that would satisfy a God who is infinite, God who is holy, God who is righteous, God who cannot exist in the presence of sin. It builds a completely false concept. Now, you want to please God, believe him. Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. Okay? So he says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said in verse 10, they do always err in their heart, so it's an inward thing. They think they can do it. All the Bible colleges I went to were teaching future preachers, preachers' wives, you can live a holy life so that when people look at you, they're going to want to be like you. That is utter nonsense. Contrary to the truth of the Word of God. And it's what provoked, it's how the Jews provoked God in the wilderness. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Look at their history in the book of Exodus. As each one of those 10 false gods was judged, and the last one that was judged was the firstborn. And with the judgment of each. So Christ our Passover, you take a lamb of the first year. You take it on the 10th day of the month and examine it till the 14th day of the month. And it has to be without spot and without blemish. And then there has to be a lamb for a house. And then they would slay the lamb, catch its blood in a basin with scarlet wool and hyssop, and dip that in it and strike on the doorpost, kind of like a Roman Catholic crossing himself, so that they would end up with a bloody cross on the door. And what did God say to the nation of Israel? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What does he say to us? Exactly the same thing. It's not our life, it's Christ's life. It's the only life that's acceptable to God. And so he stood in our stead. He bore our judgment, and his righteousness is imputed or charged to us. So if you look at me, I can't drink beer anymore. Now I just drink the 0.1% stuff. I like it. Still gives me the sense of drinking a beer, because I always like beer. A lot of people, you know, say it's an acquired taste. Well, maybe an acquired taste. I acquired the taste. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. The scripture says, you know, give wine to those who are of a heavy heart and strong drink to those who are ready to perish. What's that mean? Well, it means anesthetize them a little bit, cheer them up a little bit. You know? And is drunkenness forbidden? Yes, it's forbidden. But to take the edge off a little bit? No. I've told the story many times. I don't know that many people know it anymore, but Abigail Adams, the wife of the second president of the United States, had a double mastectomy performed with no anesthesia. You know, that's the way they did it in those days. Now, can you imagine cutting a woman's breasts off? The only thing that the medical profession could hope for in those days was that the pain would cause them to pass out. And Civil War, same thing. Cutting men's legs off, sawing them the bone off, you know, with no anesthesia. Now, today, about half the people are anesthetized most of the time, so we've made drugs a drug culture. What a bunch of nonsense, you know. All right. So he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, what's he talking about, unbelief? The unbelief that was professed by Israel was they thought they could keep the law themselves. It wasn't trusting in the holiness and righteousness and justice of God. It was trusting in themselves. That was their unbelief. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness. Now, if we could read this in Greek, there is a definite article present in Greek. And it's, I don't know what form it's in, but hamartia. You know, ha is an omicron with a rough breathing, and that short O sound is like a sound, an A sound. You know, okay, ha martia, ha martia. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. So he says, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, there are some of you that have professed to be believers, but you're not. No one that is a genuine believer can lose his salvation. No sin can be charged to him because at the moment of his salvation, he died with Christ. So you're dead, and you're alive. You know, they say, well, the Lord saw you in the back seat of that car, necking and carrying on, and all that. Boy, all the crap that we, you know, every kind of, all this stuff to try to make people think they're good. We're no good. We're sinners. We have to recognize that we're sinners. And as sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for the godly because they didn't need to. In their mind, they didn't need a Savior. He died for sinners and for all of what? Sin and come short of the glory of God. But all people don't recognize themselves to be sinners. You know, there are lots of people who think they are genuinely good, you know, to the standard of a holy and righteous God who cannot be even in the presence of a little white lie. We have a way of playing things down. So he goes on to say, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now we're contrasting, we're writing to Jews, many of them had believed, and many of them were still tied up in the law. So get it straight, you know. Christ is your Savior, and Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to whom?
Everyone.
To everyone that believeth. Is there anything wrong with doing good things? No. But our relationship with God is not based upon what we can do. If it is, we're hopelessly bound for hell, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he goes on to say, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice. So what does the scripture say about salvation? Today is the day of salvation. Now, you may be in the presence of the gospel being preached for years and years and years before you actually come to salvation. But the day that you hear it is the day that God opens your ears. Opens your spiritual ears so that you can realize that Christ died for you. And, for me, it's the first time I ever heard the gospel. For Eric, both at 21, he spent the greater part of his life. I was at the hospital when he was born, visiting his mother, and buddy, he just thought he was a Christian, and he was always struggling with the concept of being a good person. Well, that's what we do, because how many righteous men are there? None. The only person who could keep the law, the only one who ever did keep the law, is Jesus, who is God. So, therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified. Now, let's turn back to the book of Romans. And we've gotten through the sixth chapter, and I'd like to begin. Let's start at verse 20 of the sixth chapter. For when we were the servants of what? It says sin. Now, 30 times between Romans 5:12 and Romans 8:3, we have the use of the noun sin with the definite article 30 times. I can't remember the number. Let me see. Look it up. There are a total of 48 uses with that construction in the whole New Testament. Okay. So 30 of them are found just in these few chapters in Romans. So he says, for when we were the servants of the sin, you were free from the righteousness. The definite article is in front of righteousness too. What is the righteousness? It's the righteousness of Christ. So when you thought you could keep yourself right before God, you were condemned, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. When the gospel was preached and you realized yourself a sinner, and the Spirit of God quickened it to your heart so that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you died with Christ. You were buried with Christ, and you arose with Christ, and according to the scriptures, you are presently seated with Christ in heaven. So your life is what? It's hid. People can't get that straight. We're always judging one another. Well, do some of us do some things that are kind of stupid? Sure. Are any of us exempt from doing things that are stupid? No. We all do things that could cause other people to wonder about us. Well, my salvation is not dependent upon me. My salvation is dependent upon the Lord. And as you grow, you also get older. So when you get, I don't have a lot of trouble with good-looking women anymore. I'm trying to say this in a delicate way. The desires that you have when you're young, you don't have the same desires when you get old. It's a thing of the past. Okay? I guess that's about as delicate as I can put it. Okay, now. So he says, Okay, but now in verse 22, being made free from these sin, this is Romans 6 and verse 22, being made free from these sin. What was these sin? What did the serpent say? Elohim. That's the plural name of God. Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof. Now, God said to Adam and to Eve, the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. What did the serpent say? Yeah, Elohim knows that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be like Elohim. And every one of these mega churches is promising people that they can be like God by the life that they live. It panders to self-righteousness. Yeah. And all of us, born dead in trespasses and sin, are full of self-righteousness. Yeah. The only thing that gets the self-righteousness out is growing in grace. Yeah. You have to grow in grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Why does it have to be unmerited? Because we're no damn good. Put it that way. Everybody will understand that. Okay? So when you were the servants of their sin, what was their sin? I can be like God by the life that I live. Every seminary, I like to call them cemetery, but every seminary, Bible college, virtually in the world, there are few, very few, that hold to the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Most of them are trying to make their students into role models for their congregations. You know, it's all about life. It's all about, you know, well, you can't wear any makeup. You got to look like a prude that when nobody would want to kiss, even if they had the opportunity to kiss. You know, I mean, it's the truth. And it doesn't make any difference whether they claim to believe in the saving grace of Jesus Christ or whether they're all-inclusive interdenominational school. They all put out the same nonsense, and that same nonsense came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What fruit had ye then, in verse 21, in those things whereof you're now ashamed? Now, I think about things that I've done through my life, you know, both before I was saved and after I was saved. Because because I got saved, that didn't mean that I lost my nature to sin. The scripture says concerning that, if you say that you have no sin, what?
You're self-deceived.
And the truth's not in you. Is a good life better than a bad life? Sure. But your relationship with God is not based upon your life. Your relationship with God is based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ in your behalf, and we're to rest in that. So there's no room for pretense for us as believers. But now being made free from these sin, we're made free from the concept that we can somehow or other please God by the lives that we live. That's what these sin is. Yeah. Let's read it back in Genesis. Third chapter. Now, what I'm preaching could sound like heresy, but it's not heresy at all. It's heresy not to preach it. You know, we knew that the New Testament church preached it because they read it in the Greek and the articles present in the Greek. But by the time it got translated by the King James translators, there's 30 occasions in Romans alone between the fifth chapter and the eighth chapter in which they ignore the definite article. So we're talking about what the serpent said to Eve. And the woman, okay, it says, now the serpent, verse 1 of the third chapter of Genesis, first book in your Bible. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. We would say, did God really say? What's he doing? He's casting doubt upon the word of God. And that's what happens in these churches. You know, They claim to be preaching Christ, but we've got a whole Pentecostal movement that denies the security of the believer. Yeah, and we have certain denominations that say, well, if you get saved in the morning service and you're not don't get baptized, or you have an automobile accident and you can't be baptized in the evening service, then they say you go to hell, because they make water baptism a part of salvation. No, it just shows outwardly what's taking place inwardly. Yeah. But there's all kinds of false doctrine associated with, you know, man's crazy ideas, and they all came from one source, the tree. What is a knowledge of good and evil? What is the definition of morality? A knowledge of good and evil. Now, we're not saying that, you know, it's better to do good than to do bad, but you can't have a right relationship with God by the life that you live. The only way you can have a right relationship with God is to believe Him. Because without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please Him. And we read these verses and read right over the top of them, and they can have them in the same message and still teach that you can lose your salvation. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, or did God really say, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. You know, all of the trees of the garden were fruit trees. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God has said, now notice what she does. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, she changed what God said. You know, God said not to eat of it. Neither, she added to the prohibition. You can't even touch it. Well, they were supposed to take care of all the trees of the garden. And then she reduced the consequences. Less, or you might die, but probably not. Yeah. And that's what people do with the Word of God. They read into it exactly what they want to think. Yeah. So the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. How could a loving God send anyone to hell? You ever hear that argument? All the time. Yeah. People are trying to protect God. God doesn't need any protection. He's holy, righteous, and just. He's omniscient. That is, He knows everything. For what period of time? For all eternity. There was never a time when He didn't know everything. There was never a time when He didn't exist. So He's omnipresent. That's everywhere present at once. You know? He's superintending His creation. So the outer limits of His creation is being superintended, as well as what's going on this earth is being superintended. Yeah. These things are demanded by the attributes of God: omniscience, omnipotence, you know, all-powerful, omnipresence, everywhere present at once. Yeah, without sin. Okay, let's go on now. So the woman then was deceived and ate of the tree, and then she offered to her husband. And what people don't understand is Adam knew perfectly well the consequences of eating of that tree. Adam was not deceived. You know, Eve was deceived. That's why the scripture says over in the book of 1 Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Why? Because the woman was in the transgression. Okay. That has nothing to do with women's rights. Has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with spiritual growth. You know, a woman can be, very understanding, spiritually speaking, but she still is prohibited from preaching. Now, in the age in which we live, you can't prohibit anybody from doing anything. I mean, we have to put our approval upon everything. And I don't watch a lot of commercials. I usually record what I watch and and then fast forward through the commercials. But you see enough of the crap that's being promoted. And I used to like Tom Selleck as an actor. But when he started selling that mortgage insurance, I'll tell you, Marty wouldn't mind me saying that. Jim knew that he wasn't going to live very long, and he thought that Marty might need some money. So they just got a credit rating. They didn't take one dime. Jim's been dead now, what, 5 years? Pretty close to that. And Marty still doesn't have that loan paid off. They started based upon the value of their house, how houses have escalated in value. So they had a credit rating that was pretty high, they had access to money, but they didn't take any money. And our government has made that legal. And then Tom Selleck sits there and says, this isn't about them taking your house from you. Well, just what the heck is it then? Man comes up with every scheme in the world, I don't mind him making money doing ads, but he ought to do one at least that he could put his approval upon. Maybe he does. Maybe he's ignorant of how it really works. Anyway, let's go back to Romans chapter 7 now. Well, I want to, let's read 22 and 23 in this sixth chapter. But now, verse 22, being made free from the sin. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are free from the concept of thinking that our relationship with God is based upon the lives that we live. Our relationship with God, that's not an excuse to do anything you want. But if we do anything that we want, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still cleanses us from all sin. And God called us in Christ when? Before there ever was a universe. Before the foundation of the world. And it's not based upon anything that we do. It's based upon the attributes of God. So he says, for the wages of what?
The sin.
If you, there's a guy who used to live over by the sewage disposal place, or had a, I think they worshiped in his house there. He used to drive a car around with all kinds of scripture verses written on it. And it went by one day when Adrian was about 4 or 5, and she says to her mother, Mom, is that a Pharisee? And she's, you got it right, sweetie. But this verse of scripture, they never quote it correctly. For the wages of sin? No, the wages of the sin. There's only one sin that caused death. It was Adam's. As in Adam, what? All die. So in Christ, all who are in Christ are made alive. So he says, for the wages of thy sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, from all eternity, knew that when he created man, that man would, the woman would be deceived, and Adam would act as her savior. So that Adam plunged the whole human race into sin so that, Christ could die for the sins of the whole world. So as in Adam all die, so in Christ, all that are in Christ are made alive. And you have to be in Christ, though, to have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Thou shalt be saved. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now think about it. What happened at the moment of your salvation? God counts you to have died with Christ. God counts you to have been buried with Christ. God counts you to have been raised with Christ. And God counts you to be with him at this moment in heaven, even though we're still here on this earth. So your dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's not an excuse to sin. If anything, is a good reason to minimize all the crap in our lives. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and the earthen vessel is going to show itself from time to time. You'll show it, and then I can judge you, and then I'll show it. You can judge me. That's generally the way that people do it. They never judge themselves. So we just recognize the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, did what? Cleanse us from how many sins? Every single one. And we're dead, so our life is hid. So even though God is in his omniscience, knows everything that we do, God is not charging us with anything that we do, except the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. So if you're trying to please God by a touch not, taste not, handle not philosophy, you're missing the boat. You have to believe him. And if you believe him, then you're dead. And the only thing, how are the just to live? By faith. So what I'm doing right now, I'm doing by faith with the gifts that God has given me. I'm preaching the word of God dependent upon the Spirit of God to fill my mouth. That may sound strange, but it never fails. That doesn't mean I'm always in the Spirit when I'm preaching, because I might jump over in the flesh for just a little while. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. And we thank you that we can view ourselves, we can view one another as having died with Christ, having been buried with Christ, having been raised with Christ. And to be presently now alive in Christ, and the only things that you remember are those spiritual gifts that you've given that we operate in by faith, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. We praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.